I mean, how could you not love them instantly? And they didn't even have probably their best, not probably their best offensive kid.
I was like, in the alternate universe, I said, Caleb Shawn is watching this. And guys, I'm fine.
They've done this before. They did this. I mean, they've done it to great teams before. So it's just like, I don't even know if that's really a big win for him.
He is a leader on defense. I mean, this kid has a motor, man. I mean, you can just tell he gets into the game and he starts to defend and everybody just kind of rallies behind him. He's just, he's their leader. Like, he's everything for them.
He's him.
He's him. What is up, Arizona high school basketball fanatics? Welcome back to the Arizona Small Ball Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff. Your other host, Reyes, is here with me as always. And as much as there were so many great premier games last week in the 3A and the 2A, this episode, it's all about the 1A. And we're super excited to break down the brackets for the playoffs in the 1A as they were just released late last night. Big Reyes, how you doing, man? I know you're ready to talk about some 1A bracketology playoffs.
Dude, I am so ready and I am so hyped. We're talking about one of the best conferences in small ball, and I think there's no debate. Is there?
You want me to be honest? I don't think it's the best conference.
Ah, dude, I thought you were going to ride with the 1A, bro. You're something.
Hey, like, nothing but love for the 1A, but, you know, I don't think it's the most competitive conference. But I will say this. The best mascots. It's got some awesome coaching. There's some sneaky great players in the 1A. And I think this year in the playoffs, there's going to be so much. I think there's going to be some upsets. I think there's going to be some really great games this year in the playoffs. So we're super excited to get into all this stuff. And we're going to get into sleeper teams. We're going to get into – we're going to talk about upsets a little bit later on in the week. We'll talk about that more. But before we get into all of the 1A playoff bracket breakdown, just want to tell you guys, if you haven't already, head on over to Apple Podcasts, head on over to Spotify, hit follow, hit subscribe, so that way you never miss a show. This is the time of season where we start putting out content like crazy, so you don't want to miss anything. And while you're there, leave us a 5-star review. You know, we love those. And another thing as well, before we get into the brackets, is, you know, we have some awesome events that are coming up in the summer. And a ton of you guys have been messaging us and asking about more information, whatever. You know, we got two events, Reyes. Which one are you more excited about, the Copper Canyon Classic or the main event?
Dude, I forgot about those names. They're pretty sick names.
I was just about to say, you killed it with those names, dude.
Thanks, man. I mean, I'm excited for both, honestly. I think I like the main event just because of the name of it, but the Copper Canyon Classic's sick just because, if you don't know, we're hosting it in Camp Verde, and when you guys come
shout
down
out
to Camp
to
Verde.
CV land, bro.
Shouts out to CV, right? Shouts out to D-Wall for letting us host. But why we call it the Copper Canyon is because when you literally come down to Camp Verde, you come down Copper Canyon. That long, windy road is called Copper Canyon, so I thought it was going to be kind of a little fun play on. But I'm excited for both, man. If I had to choose one, I don't know. It's hard for, like I said, it's hard for some teams to make it to, you know, Camp Verde. It is, you know what I mean? So I'd have to say the main event, because I think we are going to get a lot of good teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, in both events. I mean, we can't drop what teams have already filled out the form. But there's some really high-level teams that are going to be there, and we're super excited just to kind of host and just watch you guys get after in front of some college coaches.
It's going to be small ball heaven. You know, it's going to be really great. So I said this last week on the episode, and I'll say it again right now because it is the truth. If you're thinking about signing up, just message us, DM us, email us, whatever. Reyes loves to say hit the hotline so that way we can get you signed up, because there are teams that are filling up. There's teams filling out forms. And, you know, we don't want to turn small ball teams away, but we will have to at a certain point. So we tried to get everything out, the information out, way before everybody else did. And we did do that. So just contact us so that way, you know, you don't miss your spot in it, because it's just going to be like small ball heaven for people who love small school basketball. And it's going to be some of the top level teams there as well. We've also got, I mean, just a couple announcements, man. It's fun. We got these things to talk about. But April the 20th, Reyes, what's going down, dude?
Bro, the 20th, dude, we got the ASBP Senior Showcase, you know, hosting it. Man, last year was a, I don't want to sound like a little kid, but it was a movie or anything like that. But, man, it was awesome to see, you know, just the top players in small ball, all the top senior players in small ball just be in one place and just celebrating them, you know, honoring them and just watching them compete against each other one last time in a small ball, you know, scene. It was awesome. So, yeah, we're hosting it. We're back at Florence, which is super, you know, super awesome. Shouts out to Coach Silvas and, you know, Florence AD and just Florence in general for being a generous host and a gracious host, man. Like, we just loved it there. And if you're listening to this, last year, like I said, as far as the planning, we just kind of threw it together, right? And this year we've been really methodical in how we've been kind of planning and making sure that everything is just kind of right and perfect. And one thing that we talked about is like, dude, we know this was kind of rushed last year, but this year, for the team, like I said, invites are going to be coming out actually really soon. Me and Jeff have been talking about, you know, who deserves, right? I mean, it's kind of weird to say that, right? Because, I mean, there's so many talented seniors, but, I mean, only a select few get to make it. But like I said, we've been making a list and stuff like that. We're going to be going through it. So, like I said, seniors, like I said, just be on the lookout if you have your DMs open. Coaches, if you guys have, like, a player. Like I said, we've actually had a couple of coaches who emailed us or DM'd us about some kids that their stats are not uploaded, but they've been keeping – they don't upload to the end of the season, right?
And huge shout-out to you, coaches. Thank you for that because it helps so much.
It helps us because we don't know. There's some kids that, like I said, we don't know who they are, right? And then next thing you know, you have a coach and like, hey, our coach doesn't like it until we upload to the end of the season, but this is what he's shooting from the three right now at a high volume. Like, oh, wow. Well, now that takes into a huge consideration for this kid, you know? Right. And so, like I said, we appreciate all you guys do, like I said, but, man – we really want to pack this place out, like I said. So when we do send your invites, please invite your friends and family. Coaches, bring your you know, bring your family. We just want to make it a fun event, dude. We're super excited. And we're also doing the ASBP Senior Showcase Coach Luncheon, which we're super excited about just for, you know, all the small ball coaches. And, like, you can talk about a little bit about that as well.
I mean, we're flying in a world-class chef.
Michelin just star chef.
Just to come and make you guys some food. It's my dad. But my dad is a huge my dad's a huge fan of the podcast. Every time he comes down to Arizona, he wears his Arizona Small Ball Podcast shirt. And my dad is actually, I mean, I'm not saying he's a world-class chef, but he competes in a lot of cooking competitions back in Texas. And I mean, he's awesome. And I mentioned it to him, and he was like, well, I can fly out there and I'll just cook for everybody. And I was like, all right, well, sweet. So my dad is going to be coming out to do like some barbecue. We're not sure exactly what we're going to have yet, but he's notorious for his meat. Just his meat.
Just his meat, dude.
Like, it's just meat. Like, that's it, you know? So we're excited about it. It'll be really cool. And, you know, seniors, be on the lookout for your invites. And please get back to us ASAP so that way we can be as, you know, good as we can with the ASBP Senior Showcase. So that didn't go as smooth as the first time I said it, but it's all right. It's all good.
It's all good, man. But, yeah, like I said, so, yeah, just be on the lookout for that. Like I said, our event, you know, the Copper Canyon Classic, that is the first weekend of June, which is, I think it's May 31st to June 1st.
To June 1st,
something like that. And then 2 weeks after that, we'll be hosting – a week before Section 7, we'll be hosting our main event. And we're super excited for that. Like I said, teams have already been filling in. So don't be left out, man. Like I said, we want to make sure we accommodate every team. But like I said, you know, with capacity and stuff like that, we just got to make sure we can run an awesome event like we did last year.
Compare the main event to Section 7 really quick.
Is there really a comparison, dude? I mean, where do we even
Hey, dude, it's good to have you back on the pod, man. Last week I did everything by myself.
I know, dude. You were grinding, dude.
I was,
so shouts out to Lou, dude. When I am busy or doing stuff, and like I said, last week was my birthday, and so Emily was not taking no for an answer. I had to be at dinner and stuff like that. So I was pretty much in the Army Reserves at that point.
But it's all good, dude. And, you know, I had an opportunity to dog on you on Patreon, but I didn't, dude. I didn't dog on you at
all.
I'm
glad you didn't, dude.
Not even
a little bit, that's a birthday gift.
It's a birthday gift. So we wanted to just take some time out and talk about those announcements because there are some pretty big announcements coming up. But now let's get to the most important thing. The reason why you're all listening to this, it's not because of announcements. It's because the playoffs start this week for the 1A. And again, I know a lot of you 3A, 2A schools are going to be like, hey, you know, there was some big games last week. Or, you know, I wrote in and said, like, this kid hit 1,000 points. I'm not going to say we don't care about that, but, dude, this is all about the 1A playoffs because they literally start this week. The bracket, we're recording this on Sunday. The bracket dropped late last night on Saturday night, and we're super pumped to get into this.
We literally texted each other last night at the same time just about as we're, like, looking at it because.
Oh, I know. Yeah, so we're going to look at this bracket race. You can see this, yeah?
Correct. I can see it, man.
Okay, so this is audio only, but, you know, I'm sharing the bracket here with Reyes so that way we can look at this thing. But the 16 teams are set, And, I mean, I'm super excited about this. Reyes, at first glance, so we're going to release a Patreon episode later on in the week that's going to talk about the highest percentage chance for each team to get upset in this tournament that's in the higher seed, you know?
Mm.
But we're not going to talk about that yet. Right now, we're just going to talk about, Reyes, what sticks out to you about this bracket? These are the top 16 teams in the 1A. Who, I mean, let's just start with this. Which team here is your sleeper team or your dark horse, as you like to call it?
My dark horse, I think, would have to be like an Antelope Union.
I've been hearing crazy stuff about them, dude.
I've seen them play, dude. Like I said, I didn't hear anything that you just said, but.
Oh, I didn't say anything.
Oh, it looked like you did. It's just our feet. I was always. Like your mouth is moving. Pause. But
it's like those Chinese voiceovers or whatever.
Yeah, literally. You know when they talk and then like they talk, it's kind of like that. I'd have to say Antelope Union, and then I mean, don't sleep on Hayden, right? I'm sure you want to say your Frogs, but I mean, hey, let's just call it what it is, dude. It's just not it this year.
Hey, I'm not biased at all, dude. I call it how I see it, bro. Except for Salome. Like Salome's always my dogs.
I think 9 and 10 would be a dark horse, and then don't sleep on Mogollon. I think, okay, if I actually dude, I love the Salome shirt. I'm actually, you know, repping our partners over at Cloud9 if you want to click.
Hey, let's go. Them. Look at us just selling out right now, bro.
I know. We're a bunch of sellouts, so it's cool, though. But, I think besides Hayden, if I had to choose two, I'm going to go Antelope Union and Mogollon. I think those two are dark horses for sure in the 1A.
And why don't you, like, really quick define a dark horse? Like, what's a dark horse in your mind?
For me, a dark horse is a team who either their strength of schedule is really good and they may have dropped some early in the season, but they're collecting really good wins and they're just kind of going under the radar, right? Like no one's really shedding light on them. Like we haven't really shed light on Antelope Union at all, right?
But we haven't.
But we've heard the buzz, right? You mean like I said, I saw them play. I told you about them when they came to Maryvale, you know, shouts out to the Vale. I said, man, this team, they got size, they got, you know, athleticism, they got shooting. Like it's kind of interesting to see what Antelope Union has over there. But I mean that's what a dark horse is, man. It's a team, it's not an underrated team, but like I mean, I guess that's kind of one way to put it, but it's a sleeper team, dude. Like it's a team that you don't want to see in the first round. That's the way
they're
I look at it. This is the team.
Yeah. Like they're kind of it's a team.
It's a good team.
Yeah, it's a good team that's been flying under the radar. They don't have a lot of hype around them, and maybe their seeding is like a number 8 through whatever, but it's a team that could beat anybody, right? I mean, like Antelope gave North Valley Christian a great game, like an awesome game, and I think if I remember right, that was at North Valley Christian. So, I mean, I think for you picking Antelope, I think is fair. I have a team, though, that is not on one that you said. And that is Anthem Prep sitting at number 6.
I don't think. See, and I know. I figured you were gonna say that. I thought about it, but
what? What's
so,
your
dude.
What's your beef with Anthem Prep, dude?
There's no beef with Anthem Prep. They've actually had. How crazy is it that we're talking about Anthem Prep? You know, shouts out.
I love it, dude. It's coming in at the 6th seed, bro. Like that's so freaking sick for them. That's great.
It's cool. It's awesome. Like I said, shouts out to Coach Center. You know. Sending over
that's
there.
A, that's
Anthem
a sweet
Prep.
Name, dude. I love that name.
That's a tight name. But yeah, I mean, you look at Anthem straight the schedule, man. Like they played some very good teams. They played a Salome. They played North Valley twice. They got a Lincoln Prep in there. They got North Phoenix. They played Arete Prep, Cicero, Veritas, Antelope. Like they've seen it all, right?
That's what I'm saying. This is a team that even if they haven't won
test.
All
you
those
can,
games,
they're
battle tested exactly.
And so that's a scary team. Like I said, I think that's a fair, you know, I think that's a good dark horse. I think that if you, I don't know, I just like my pick over, I like Antelope Union over Anthem Prep as far as a dark horse, but that's a great pick.
Okay, so then let's talk about this then. Looking at this bracket, who do you feel like got some help? Who do you feel like is just like in a crappy spot for where their seeding fell?
I think... You know, respectfully, right? All these teams,
right?
I think the Gregory School got a little. I think the Gregory School got a lob. I think North Valley got a lob. I think that Babo did get a lob. After that, and I think I don't. You know, Desert Christian, right? They're kind of on a tear. You know, shouts out to Tyson Dobbins. You know, like I said, he'd accolade over there. But like Cicero ain't no punk, dude. So I don't want to say that's a lob, but I mean,
right.
I would hate to face a Cicero Prep team. you know, first round, right? Just because, you just never know. But I think Desmond Christian is battle-tested.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to kind of disagree with you, though, here. Because you talk about the Gregory School and they're a little part of the bracket, right? They're playing against Williams, number 16, here in this first round. Williams is they haven't had an amazing year, but I mean we've seen them play. They are long, they are athletic, they're strong, they're tall. I mean they have some ability. They've got some good guards. So I mean number 16 Williams is not like a pushover. The Gregory School still wins that, but then you're playing the winner of Joseph City or Antelope. I mean,
is that what you're talking about? It's like who has the easiest ride? I thought you were just talking about first round matchup. If you're talking about who has,
What you're saying. Yeah, I'm just talking about their little parts of the bracket. You know, like who got some hope or who kind of got screwed over.
I think the left hand side is the toughest with the Gregory School because you have the Gregory School, you have Antelope, Joe City, Fort Thomas, Basis, and Babo. You know, obviously, right. On the right hand side you have Desert Christian, you have North Valley and El Cap. You know, and you have other teams as well. But I think if you look at the strength of the bracket and you go like left or right side, whose bracket is stronger, which side, I think you'd have to go with the left side.
I agree with you totally.
It's a tough talk about earning your state championship, right? Talk about earning your title run.
I feel like, and what's great is the top four seeds are like you have the number one and the number four on one side and the number three and the number two on the other side. So, I mean, if everything works out the way it's supposed to, these teams won't meet until the semifinals, and then we're going to get a matchup between either like a Gregory School or, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I love that part of it. So that way they're not meeting in like the second round or in the first round even, you know? So, I mean, not that that would happen, but, you know, sometimes teams play like weird schedules and they drop some and all that, but.
Hey, how crazy is it that Salome's in it? We counted them out. Let's just call it what it is. You know what I mean?
We did, bro. And they squeak in at number 15. They're not even the last team in, bro.
But for the most part, all of our picks are pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, actually kind of funny. The other day, Friday night. We were coming back, and we stopped to eat, and there was a bus with a frog on it. And people were like, oh, my gosh, the frogs are here. And I don't know why. I got, like, nervous. I was like, bro, those are the fighting frogs? Like, I could meet Devin Booker and I wouldn't be nervous. But it's the frogs, bro.
It's the freaking frogs. Shouts out over there, dude. They do what they need to do.
Huge shout outs to them because they always take care of business. So, okay, you know, we talk about sleeper teams. We talk about, like, some dark horses. Let's get into this. You want to just break down each of these matchups and give a prediction on this thing, and then we'll keep moving forward?
Let's do it, dude. Golly.
Okay. So I'll let you start. Let's start with pick either the number one, the number four, the number three, or the number two. I don't care where we start, but it's all up to you.
Let's go with the Gregory School first and foremost, right? Okay. So with the Gregory School versus Williams, like I said, you are right. You know, Williams does have size. Like I said, they do have some tall, lanky guards. They
and
do
size
got
even at the guard position, too. I don't just mean a big, you know.
That's what I just said. Yeah, they have really athletic long wings and guards. And they have their big, who just wears like a size like 20 for all we know, right?
That's crazy, dude.
Kid's a freaking house. And, you know, I think that Williams is a very physical team, and I think that could cause some issues for the Gregory School. I'm not saying the Gregory School is not as physical or anything like that, but I mean, you know, like it's a Williams. It's almost like playing like a Pima, you know what I mean? That's like the equivalent of like playing a physical team. It's like Williams is fair. They play super hard. They're really well coached. But the Gregory School, I think, is just on another level right now, especially at this time of the year. I think Rosin Smith, is it Rosin or Raisin? I always forget.
I think it's Rosin Smith. We've said it like that and haven't gotten corrected yet, so I'm going to say it's that.
Yeah. Rosin Smith, kid's playing like a grown man. He is just a tough matchup and nightmare to go against, and I think that the Gregory School is going to have their way, respectfully. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go the Gregory School. I'm going to go ahead and go plus 15.
Okay. And another thing, too, here is Cody for Williams is going to have to really step up. He's averaging 15 points a game, leading them in scoring, but he's going to really have to have a good game. And then, obviously, the supporting cast here. The computers really like the Gregory School in this. They favor them 62-54. And I'm closer to your score spread on that, and I think it would be more like plus 15. And I got the Gregory School as well. Before we move on, you know, we're talking about the playoffs. What are some keys as these teams, these coaches, these players enter into the playoffs? We probably should have started with this, but I just don't want to forget it. What are some things as a coach that you're harping on with your team when it comes to the playoffs? Some keys to making a deep tournament run?
Execution details, right? I mean that's just so huge, especially if you want to be a title contending team. Like, everything, all the mistakes that you made in the regular season just kind of has to go away, right? I mean, there's such a small margin of error when it comes to playoffs, and I think that the more disciplined team, the team that, you know, turns the ball over the least, is probably going to win the game, you know what I mean? Which team causes more turnovers? I know it's kind of like, you know, pretty obvious, but I think those three things just kind of stick out to me, right? It's just like discipline, how you're taking care of the ball, and, yeah, just details, man. I think that's just huge. I think that coaches should be emphasizing heading into playoffs.
What's interesting is you mentioned turnovers, which is my big thing that I think about going into the playoffs. You got to take care of the basketball, and usually that leads to having great point guard play. You know, if you have great point guard play going into the playoffs, it's really going to help you. And think about the top four seeds. The Gregory School's got a great point guard. North Valley Christian's got a great point guard. Desert Christian's got a great point guard. Babo's got a great point guard. I mean, you know, these top four, not that those are the only ones. I'm just kind of highlighting those top four. But, you know, great point guard play is a huge key. For all you point guards that are out listening to this, because obviously this is dropping Monday morning, I think games don't start until like Thursday or something like that. Maybe Wednesday is the earliest one. Man, watch some film and just get into the film room and study more than what your coach even tells you, because your impact and your play on the court is a huge part of the success of the team going into the playoffs. So, yeah, I just wanted to highlight that. Let's move on to the next part of that same bracket. You got number 9, Antelope, versus number 8, Joseph City. This is a great matchup, dude. I don't even know who would get this one. I'm going to be honest with you.
So I think, I mean, you look at a Joseph City, right? They're just a bunch of guards, you know, and they do have size. Like I said, their guards are pretty lanky and athletic. They shoot the ball very well. They're really well coached. Antelope, on the other hand, they have, I forgot their names. I know it's number 1, I believe number 5. They have like a 6'3", 6'2 guard, who is just tough. They got a point guard. It's just pretty poised overall in the game, in the heat of battle. And then they're big. Kid, he is so physical. He is so tough. He's a matchup nightmare. So if you don't have a big that can, you know, play back to the basket, or if you don't have anybody that can really defend that, it's going to be a long night, because Antelope will key in on that. And then once you start closing in and start double teaming and start trying to dig the kickouts, and the Antelope can shoot at a very high level. So, I mean, golly, this is a tough matchup, right? And I think that, I mean, technically it would be considered an upset if Joseph City did lose, but I am going to rock with Antelope getting past them. And I think the closer game, though, than anybody thinks. I'm going to go Antelope plus 6.
See, here's the key, and this is what's so exciting about Joseph City, is they have the ability to put some really great pressure on the basketball. And when you can pressure the ball against a team that you're undersized against, it can really change things and kind of eliminate that size. So I would look for Joseph City to figure out, you know, different ways to take away that size, or to take away that advantage that size that Antelope has. But, I mean, that could be one thing that they try to look to. The computers, they like Antelope in this one, even though Antelope is the lower seed. They have Antelope winning 65-54 against Joseph City. Ooh. And, man, that's a big score spread for teams that, yeah, that's crazy, man.
It kind of is, yeah. Yeah, dude, and, like, I didn't want to say that, but I think it's a plus 6. I think Joseph City can hang around a little bit. I think size...
Joseph City can also shoot the ball, too, though. They've got some kids that can really put the ball in the hoop.
That's what I just said. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I just think that Antelope Union might just be a little bit too much. Especially Antelope Union does a really good job giving pressure in the full court. They do it pretty much, you know, the whole game. Yeah, dude, they're aggressive in the passing lanes. It's a very interesting matchup, but I think that with the size and the way Antelope's been playing as of late, I think it's going to be a really tough game for Joseph City to overcome.
Something that
I hope they prove me wrong.
Yeah, well, something I think that is worthy to note here is the fact that the higher seed is hosting, and it's a home game for them. So Joseph City will be at home. The Gregory School will be at home against them. You know, Coach Miller out of Joseph City, you know, is going to have his kids ready to go. I watched a game where Joseph City was playing against, I think it was Ash Fork, and they, in the first quarter, I think, made like 6 threes or something. I mean, this team can really shoot the basketball. Give me Joseph City. Give me Joseph City plus like 3, bro. I think this is a battle at home.
Okay.
But I think Joseph City is going to shoot the ball really well because it's at home. And I know Coach Miller probably just like squinted his eyes like, oh, don't say we're going to shoot well because you're going to jinx us. But I would much rather take those odds at home than being on the road. Antelope's going to have to travel. I think that's going to help.
Hey, man, I can agree with you. Like I said, valid points. And so we'll see what happens. Like I said, I have Antelope plus six. You have Joseph plus three. So I guess we'll see who wins on that matchup. Let's move on to the next one. Basis, our Yetis versus the Apaches. Number 12.
Is that a good Yeti sound? I practiced that actually this morning.
Not bad.
In the shower.
Number 12, Basis Flagstaff versus number 5, Fort Thomas. Now, if you look at Max Preps, it's kind of crazy. We'll jump into all the analytics in a little bit. But Max Preps has Basis winning 65-58. It's interesting.
That is interesting.
It really is. And so let's just dive into this. I think, you know, Basis with, how do you say his name? Engelthaler. Kid's averaging like 30 a game, dude. It's kind of nuts.
He's the greatest. I said this on Patreon, but he is the greatest scorer in Basis Flagstaff history. Nobody's ever had that many points. And this season alone, he has over 600 points.
It's nuts.
Like, it's crazy, dude. Like, this kid has not been talked about enough. I mean, we've been hyping him up for a little bit, but, I mean, somebody needs to put him on notice, bro. It's crazy.
Yeah, we haven't done our justice, I don't think.
Hey, we've mentioned him, like, in the last four podcast episodes. I'm not even joking, bro.
Has it really? I guess if you go back and count, maybe you're probably right. With that being said, though, I am going to have to disagree. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I am going to have to disagree with Max Preps. I think that Fort Thomas's guard play, they do have Dosella, who's averaging about 14, 15 a game. You know what I mean? So I think it's a pretty good matchup. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game as well. I do believe that. But I think Basis, I mean, Engelthaler is everything, right? And I think that Fort Thomas's guard play, I think they have a little bit more than we're not talking – that we're not talking about and sharing. And I don't know, dude. I just have Fort Thomas, and I think it's not going to be close. Is that disrespectful to say?
That is disrespectful to say, Reyes. How are you going to disrespect the Yetis like that, dude? I hope that one day you're out camping just because you said that. And you're probably not even much of a camper because you don't strike me as a camper. Are you a camper?
Hey, I'll go camping, dude.
Let's go camping, dude.
Let's do it.
A podcast retreat.
Coach's retreat.
We can claim it as a business expense, you know, as like a retreat for our company.
You heard it here first, guys.
But I hope one day you're out camping and you go out to the woods to just take a piss or something. And then when you unzip your pants.
Oh my lord, dude. What is going on here?
Okay, I hope just going. out of the darkness of the woods, you just like, this Yeti comes out of nowhere and just grabs you and just freaking rips you in half, bro.
Jeez,
I hope that happens because that's disrespectful, bro. To say it's atrocious, it's a travesty for you to say this isn't even going to be close.
Golly.
With that being said, I do have Fort Thomas winning, but I don't have. I do think it's going to be close. Here's the main reason why Jack Engelthaler is playing out of his mind. He's literally averaging 30 a game, and he's averaging 12 rebounds a game. So think about that.
Well, you look at all the stats, he's leading every category, which there's not really a big issue for that. But I'm just saying, dude.
This is the reason why, okay? Because there's nothing but love for Basis Flagstaff. Like, they've done a tremendous job this whole season, and it's been so fun to cover them and watch them. But it was about a month or so ago, I watched them play against El Cap, and Jack was not playing. And that the team really struggled. And what that did, obviously that's not a great picture of Basis Flagstaff, but it does give you a picture of what they have outside of that. And I think Fort Thomas, with just their guards and how they can defend and how they can get after people, that could potentially be a problem here for them. So, you know, for everybody on Basis Flagstaff, they're going to have to be ready. Everybody that is not named Jack Engelthaler is just going to have to be ready to go. I think that they will be, right? It's a playoff game. You know, their coach does a tremendous job with this group. And I know that, you know, Basis Flagstaff is probably listening to this and they're just like disagreeing, and it's probably that's totally great. Like, I get that. I would be the exact same way. I do think it's going to be – what?
I said they're probably going to buy like Legos and have a step on it or something.
Maybe, right? With a little Yeti printed on them or something. But, you know, I do think it's going to be close, though. I think Jack Engelthaler is going to go off in this game, And I say he goes out in a blaze of glory, and I say that he seals his, you know, his invite to the ASBP Senior Showcase. I'm just going to throw that out there. So, let's move on. All right.
Hey, no. Did you just say if Jack Engelthaler, if he gets past his first round, gets a very well coached and very tough Fort Thomas team, he punched his ticket?
I say he punched his ticket already, big dog. I'm just saying. Let's move on, though, okay? That's the first time we've ever said prematurely that someone has been invited. So, you know, you're welcome, Jack Engelthaler. Just be on the lookout for an invite. Okay, so we both got Fort Thomas advancing. You know, if you look at these on the bracket, I know for you guys it's audio only, but on the bracket I do have some in red. I highlighted those because those are teams that just won their super regional tournament. So Fort Thomas, aside from them being a really good team, they're playing really at a high level right now, right? And I think, actually, now that I'm thinking about this, Fort Thomas, no, that's a different team. Yeah, that's a different team I'm thinking of. But Fort Thomas does win. The Gregory School just won their super region tournament. So, I mean, these are teams that are playing really well. Let's move on to the next two teams. You got Ray at Babo, and we didn't even mention this, but this game is at Fort Thomas, which is going to be a challenge for sure. Let's move on to the next one. You've got the Ray Bearcats, which I love their logo, facing off on the road at Babo Quivari.
Freaking Babo, dude. Ray's been an interesting team, to say the least, right? They kind of just jumped on the map, and we talked about them a little bit. Then they dropped a couple of games middle of the season, and they've just been kind of hanging, you know what I mean? They were undefeated for a little bit. Sorry, man. Golly.
It's okay.
They finished 19-8. They finished 4-2 in their region. They are matched up. Who are they matched up with again? Sorry, I was looking at
Babo.
Babo. You know, I can't disrespect Babo, dude. I'm a warrior through thick and thin. I think that Babo's guard play, and I'm just waiting for Devin Antone to kind of have a, you know, I'm excited. I'm just waiting for him to lead his team back for, you know, hopefully a consecutive state title run, and hopefully they get it done. I like Babo. I mean, I have to go with Babo on this just solely because of Babo.
Mm-hmm. Just because of who, because, you know, it's not just Devin Antone.
It's not. Right? No, you're absolutely right.
They have so many other guards. They have so many other weapons. And on top of that, it's their mentality. I mean, if you were to take out, which you can't do this, right? But if you were to take out the first, what, like quarter of how they started against North Valley, I mean, they win that game against North Valley because they go toe-to-toe with North Valley the whole time, but they go up.
Mm-hmm.
North Valley goes up like 12-0 or 14-0 in that first quarter, you know? So, I mean, I just think Babo is very, very dangerous, and I see them. I mean, we might be looking at a potential Rez-style matchup of Fort Thomas versus Babo there in the quarters.
Which will just be super so cool, man. But, yeah, I got Babo. I'm going to go ahead and go Babo. I'm going to go ahead and go plus 12, respectfully. Yeah,
the computers like Babo. They favor them 68-51, and I would actually go with that type of score spread. So I'm going to say that 68-51. I think Babo wins at home. And then they go on and they face off against Fort Thomas. So this first side of the bracket, we have Babo advancing. We have Fort Thomas advancing. I have Joseph City. You have Antelope. And then we have Gregory advancing into that second round. And we'll see if we're right, dude.
Dude, I like that. Dude, it's so exciting, dude, for the left-hand side. Yeah, I cannot wait to keep just following this throughout and just see who kind of makes it to the next round.
It's going to be good, man. And like we said, we'll talk about like the best chance to get upset in our Patreon episode that's going to release later on in the week. Before we get on over to the next side of the bracket, we do want to take a second and give a shout out to our sponsors over at Cloud9 Sports. Reyes is wearing their shirt right now like a freaking sleaze bag, you know. But, you know, we love Cloud9 Sports. They're a sports apparel company that is... They are small ball coaches through and through. They're in the trenches with you, and they care about small schools just as much as we do. And why wouldn't you want to get your clothes from a sports apparel company that is literally in the trenches with you, right? Their prices are awesome. The quality of their products is awesome. We use them for all of our events. head on over to cloud9sports.com and use the promo code all caps smallballarmy. You can get 10% off your purchase. And then if you want to email our guy directly, you can just email him at cloud9roger@hotmail.com. And just tell him that you sent us, and I promise you they'll take really good care of you. Let's move on over to the next side of the bracket. Let's start up at the top. We got number 14 Desert Christian facing off against number 14 Cicero Prep.
You got that
man, dude. You know, Desert Christian, just for a second, they're like, wait, what? Number 14 Cicero Prep going on the road to face off against a very good number 3 Desert Christian. What do you think about this? You've seen Cicero Prep play a lot this year. What do you think about this matchup here?
It's a tough matchup, right? Especially for your first game. But to say the least, I'm trying to think of how I should word this. I think that Desert Christian is battle tested. I think they've been proven that they are a perennial team in the 1A and in small ball. Golly, didn't they play already? If I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to see if they did play or not. Desert Christian's sister have not played. But Desert Christian's pretty much have played everybody. I think Desert Christian has a little bit more depth than Cicero Prep. I think that Desert Christian has a lot more players that can create more shots. I think mm-hmm. that Cicero does have size and length and athleticism, but I think if Desert Christian can really, you know, apply pressure and just really beat him in the transition game, I think it's gonna be a long night for Cicero to kind of just be able to keep up with that yet. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think if I'm assuming the matchups can be Tyson Dobbins versus Yurkowski and kind of who wins that.
No, it'll be Vondrak probably against Yurkowski, bro.
You think so?
Yeah, for sure. That's like their athlete. That's like their guy that would do that. You know, I think that's who they're going to put on Yurkowski. But Yurkowski's healthy now, which is great. So,
he's fully healthy.
I saw him with no knee brace playing, no wrap, cross somebody over up at the top of the key, go all the way into the lane and just dunk it on somebody.
Well, then,
I would say he's healthy.
Well, I think, and then, like I said, injured Yurkowski to a fully healthy Yurkowski is a totally different player, right?
Yep, absolutely.
What's your take on this? And then I'll give you my score spread.
Well, the computers have Desert Christian winning 62-49. Mm-hmm. And that's a really big score spread, actually, for Max Pretz. If you look at that a lot, you rarely see score spreads that big. I do have Desert Christian winning this game. But, you know, I don't think it's going to be maybe that close. I think Cicero Prep is a team, whenever you have a kid like Yurkowski, you have a chance to do something, right? And here's the thing. Here, I'm going to say this about Desert Christian because it's kind of crazy,
What are you about to say, bro?
Like, if I could transport myself into the locker room of Desert Christian, what I would say to those kids is, like, play how you've played all season long. Like, don't hold anything back in the playoffs. Like, you go for it, and whatever it is that Desert Christian, if you watch them play, there have been games where they have just played so free, you know? And I say that in every facet, right? Whether it is within the offense, whether it's, you know, how they, like, what type of style they play, whatever. My biggest advice that I would give to Desert Christian, because I want to see Desert Christian do so well in the tournament this year, they've just got to be themselves, right? Don't get all tight because it's the playoffs now. Just play loose, man, and just do everything you can do. So, I mean, with that, because, I mean, when Desert Christian plays like that, they could literally beat any team on this because they have the ability to heat up. This is a team that beat so many good 3A teams, beat so many good 2A teams. I mean, I don't think anybody on this playoff bracket has the resume that Desert Christian has. They may have the best resume on this entire bracket in the tournament. And they've done that playing so free and not playing tight. So my biggest words that I would say to Desert Christian is to play free and just to be themselves, to coach the way you've been coaching all year. And even as I say that, I felt like I was going to say a negative, but that's a really big positive.
What's next?
That was like a curveball. But, like, Desert Christian's tough, man. I got them winning this one. I think it's plus 12. But they're going to have to think about Yurkowski and a healthy Yurkowski at that.
I like that score spread. I'm going to agree with you on that one. I was going to go ahead and, like, I was going to say plus 15, but I'll go plus 12 with you. I like that.
Okay, so now we move on to Mogollon number 11 on the road at Anthem Prep number 6. And I will add a very dangerous Anthem Prep team and also a very dangerous Mogollon team.
Yeah, so Kyson Owens, right? Kid's been playing. He's had a really, I mean, he's had a great year this year. Mm-hmm.
He's had a really great high school career, dude. I mean, the kid's been averaging like over 20 points ever since he was a sophomore.
He's already won state titles too for football, dude. Mm-hmm. So, kid's just been getting after it. He's been doing what's been needed of him. With this matchup with Anthem Prep, this is going to be at the Eagles' Nest. I like the Mustangs' chances in the raid, and I think that Kyson Owens and his brother and a couple of the guards that they had, I don't remember their names off the top of my head. They can shoot the ball really well. They're physical inside. You know, Anthem mm-hmm. Prep does have size as well. They have shown the ability to shoot. I think that Mogia might be able to overwhelm them, and I think this is the upset I wanted to talk to you about, but I'm going to go ahead and go Mogia.
I'm going to go Mogia. Okay. Hey, you're going to need to do some research and be ready to defend yourself on Patreon, bro.
Mogia on +8, dude.
Dang. So I disagree with you. I think Mogion's going to have a great showing here. I think Kyson Owens is going to be ready to go. I think, you know, he's playing for his senior season, so he's going to be awesome. I think Anthem Prep, I think you're discrediting Anthem Prep's season. And I think you're discrediting everything that they've done. And, like, some, even though they haven't won, I know that you don't get power points for moral victories, but, like, they do mean something, right? The yeah, computers sure. have Mogion and Anthem Prep. The score spread being Anthem Prep 63 to Mogion 54. And I like that score spread.
I think you flip-flop that.
No, I don't flip-flop that at all, bro. Anthem Prep has more than Mogion has.
They're way more battle-tested than Mogion.
Way more battle-tested. Those are the two things I was going to say. I just think, just at its core, if you just look at it like a bare-bones thing, Anthem Prep is just better than Mogion is.
Whoa, that's just flat out.
I'm just saying, like, if you just look at them, like, if you just watch them, I think Anthem Prep is just a better team than Mogion. That's not to say that Mogion can't win. There's no disrespect with that. But I think also they're battle tested. So when you factor all those things in together, it's hard for me to pick Mogion. I know why you're picking Mogion, because of Kyson Owens. And I think he's going to have a great game here still. But, you know, I think Anthem Prep's just going to be a little bit too much, and it's at home as well, so.
Okay. Hey, I can agree with everything you're saying, so, but I'm going to stick with my points, dude. I'm going to go with Kyson Owens. I'm going to rock with him, dude. The kid's just a winner.
He is, man. I love it, dude. It's great. Okay, so next up, we got number 10, Hayden, on the road at number 7, El Cap, who is also a Super Region champ, so they're playing very well right now. I think this might be the game where I think El Cap just beat Hayden. If I remember right.
Yeah, I'm looking at Max Preps right now. I'm trying to find it. But I think you are correct. Let's see. No, Hayden beat.
Hey, what's up with
they
throat,
just
bro?
Lost to Cicero. Huh?
What's up with your throat, bro?
Dude, I don't even know, bro. It's just got a little bit of mucus. No big deal. Some slight. Yeah, I can't see anything. No, I don't see El Cap. No, they didn't play El Cap at all this
year. Yeah, no. There's somebody who just played against each other, and it may have been Fort Thomas Basis. I know North Valley and Salome just played, so I mean that's probably what I'm thinking of. But yeah.
I like this matchup between these two teams. I think Poole has been playing very well for Hayden, as well as Heyman. That's how you say his name.
Mm-hmm.
Both are, you know, playing really good for their teams. I think if you look at their rebounds per game, El Cap gets 40 rebounds per game to Hayden's 26. So, and El Cap's averaging about 59 points per game to Hayden's 42, 43 points.
40 rebounds a game?
You know what that tells me?
Stat padding?
Stat padding, or they just can't shoot and they're just getting a bunch of rebounds.
No, I'm just kidding. Hey, for El Cap, we're just kidding, bro. Whatever.
We're kidding. But, so, I mean, I think this game is just going to be a war of attrition. I think who gets the most rebounds is probably going to win this game, honestly, because that means that more rebounds means more possessions. More possessions means more chances to score. And if El Cap is able to do that and kind of capitalize on that, I think it's going to be a long night for Hayden. I am going to rock with El Cap, though. I'm going to go with El Cap. I'm going to go ahead and go plus 10.
Yeah, I would actually go with, I mean, that stat alone, I mean, we could have thrown that in as far as keys to playoff runs. you know, taking care of the basketball and rebounding. But I mean, them having that many rebounds, it, like everything that you just said, I'm not going to re-say it, but it's such a key stat as you enter into the playoffs. The computers have El Cap winning 64-55 over Hayden, and I'm going to rock with that. Hayden has been, it's a good team, but they've been kind of inconsistent, and they're a really hard team to kind of get a good read on. Even though I've watched them play multiple times, it's kind of hard to see because of how some things in their season have gone.
It's kind of weird, right? I forgot what team it was last year, but they're just very up and down, right? Not very consistent, respectfully. I don't know. I like El Cap's chances on this, especially on that stat alone. 40 yeah. rebounds per game. That's just nutty. I would like to see what team has more, which I don't think there is any.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, El Cap still has some big guards, and they're still long and pretty athletic. Mm-hmm. They're not the same as they were last year, obviously, but you know, they've still got some stuff there for sure. So we both have El Cap advancing. I do think it's closer because same thing with Hayden, dude. Like you look at them, they literally lost in overtime to Fort Thomas on the road, 76-72. So this is a team that has a lot of ability. They can play well, but they've just got to put it together here on the road in the playoffs. I don't know if they can do that or not, but yeah, I have El Cap winning that one.
No, hashtag 'kay. I agree with you, man.
And then our last matchup to go with here, we got the number 15 Siloam Fighting Frogs facing off against North Valley Christian, number 2. You know, North Valley Christian just winning their Super Region tournament. So huge shout out to them and to all these other teams that have won their Super Region tournament. Siloam and North Valley just met in the first round of their tournament, in their Super Regional tournament. And, you know, North Valley ended up winning big on this one. What are your thoughts on this game?
I think it's the same way. I think North Valley, I don't know if Jabron and the other ones can, you know, just withstand the onslaught of Bobby Rodriguez, Cameron Rice, and all the rest of them. It's going to be a long night for Siloam. It's at the Lions' Den. Mm-hmm. The Lions are hungry, dude. I guess they're having frog for dinner.
Dang, dude. Don't do that, bro.
Hey, shouts to Siloam. I love the Fighting Frogs. I do, but man, I don't know what kind of... Let me look up a gourmet meal with frogs, and I'll tell you. Keep talking. Talk about your matchup. Give me your...
Well, something that sticks out about me with North Valley is they're averaging 32 rebounds a game, which is pretty good.
That's a lot of rebounds.
So the score spread here on Max Preps, the computers like North Valley, they like them by 10, 62-52. And, you know, I'm just going to go against the computers here, bro. I got Siloam, and I think Siloam wins 75-45 on the road here, and then they're just going to continue on. I don't see Siloam losing at all in this tournament.
Okay, so the gourmet meal is...
I love how you didn't even respond to what I just said. You're just like, oh, okay, anyway, let's just go into these gourmet meals.
Anyways, it's pronounced Cuses de Grenouille, which is pretty much frog legs. It's a delicacy.
I've had
in
frog
France.
Legs before, actually. I'm sorry, Siloam, but I have eaten frog legs before.
There you go, man. That sounds.
They're
like, kind
of tastes like fried chicken, I'll be honest.
Sounds disgusting, honestly, mate.
Yeah, once you get past the mentality of eating that, like it's not. It's really not that bad. It's actually good.
That's
tastes
why
like
you're just
chicken,
different, bro. Different mentality.
I am a little bit different, you know, but no, you know, all love to Siloam. I mean, I'm repping Siloam right now with my shirt. Yeah, I think they're awesome. And I honestly love the way that they play. They are physical. They don't back down from anybody.
No, I agree with
Bobby
Rodriguez
and one of the players from Siloam got into it a little bit in their matchup. And it just kind of shows, like, Siloam doesn't care who they're playing against. Like, they're going to show up. And Coach Aaron always has them playing at a super high level competitive-wise, their toughness. I love it, you know. I mean, you can't argue with that. But I do have North Valley winning this one, especially being at home. And I think the score spread is, you know, maybe I say like plus 12. I think Siloam's going to compete better here. But, you know, I think this is the third time, right, that Siloam will have played North Valley this season.
Correct, man. And it's hard to play someone three times. We know that for a fact.
That's true, right? Yeah, this will be the third time that they played against them.
Correct.
So, I mean, I think they're going to compete better this time, but I just think North Valley has too much for those Fighting Frogs. And
respectfully,
you know,
dude, shouts out to the Fighting Frogs. Hey, you know what? Shouts out to the Viking. Let's see how good I am with my mascots right now. promise you guys I am not looking at the map. So shouts out to the
Vikings.
He's looking.
I'm looking. He has his phone out right now.
I don't, bro. I swear,
no,
bro.
No, I'm just kidding. He's not. This is legit.
Shouts out to the Vikings. Shouts out to the Hawks. Shouts out to the Rams. Wildcats. Yetis. Apaches. Bearcats, lit on the logo. Shout out to the Warriors. How do you say that? Cicero's Centurions?
The Centurions, uh-huh.
Okay, Desert Christian. What are they? They are the Eagles, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mogi on Mustang. Shout out to the Eagles for Anthem Prep. Lobos for Hayden. Eagles for El Cap. Or is it Hawks? No, it's Eagles. Fighting Frogs and then our Lions, dude. Shouts out to all you guys, you know, getting after it. And like I said, we're excited to see who advances to the next round. Stay tuned for more, dude. And join the Patreon. Join the Army. And enlist now, dude, because we're going to war.
Hold on, big dog. I think you messed one up.
No, I did not.
I'm pretty sure you did.
It had to have been El Cap.
Dang, no, you said it was the Eagles, right? El Capitan?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. You got them all, dude. It's very nice. Bro. That's impressive, dude.
Hey, I'm feeling different, dude.
That's good. Yeah, so this is our prediction for the first round. Let us know what you guys think about it because we want that interaction with you guys. If we got something completely off and you are like, hey, dude, you're not talking about this or this aspect, like, let us know because we're so excited about the 1A state tournament starting up and it's going to be super fun. Another thing, too, is be on the lookout for our Patreon episode that is going to drop later on this week. We're going to do, for sure, we're going to talk about biggest percentage upsets for each team here that's the higher seed. But we may throw some other things in there, like maybe like top players or whatever. We'll figure it out. It'll be something fun for you guys. But we're super excited about this 1A tournament starting up. And coaches, players, good luck. We know you guys are not going to get a whole lot of sleep this week, but try to get some sleep. Try to get some good food in you, some good rest. And, yeah, just good luck to all the teams. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Arizona Small Ball Podcast, and we will catch you guys later on this week on Patreon.